Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. It is now officially the summer break. Everything sort of wind down, except in Formula One, the news never really winds down. I'm your host for today, Hayden Gunston, and I'm joined by the amazing James Coker, and we are going to be talking everything that's happened in the last week. And there has been quite a lot. And I believe it was cut out of the podcast last time because we filmed it in the evening on Monday, and then some news pretty much dropped from the meetings that were had about Sergio Perez. And it is now pretty much announced that Sergio Perez is going to be staying with Red Bull for the entirety of the season. And there's a lot of controversy about this, in particular, a very big rumor that has come out. James, what are your initial reactions to Sergio Perez staying?
I'm so surprised. I think everybody is surprised and maybe just a little tired. Like, everyone thought we were going to get some change in the grid, especially at Red Bull. And I think a lot of people are fans of Checo as a person, but he just has not been giving the performance that a top team needs this season. So I just felt like it was his time to move on, at least in his relationship with Red Bull. That doesn't mean his career is over in Formula One. So I think, like most Formula One fans, was incredibly surprised about this news.
Yeah, I was really, really surprised. Honestly, I said that on the Monday podcast, it was probably cut out, but I said, yeah, I'm expecting Checo out, Ricciardo into that seat. He's tested for half a season. Then we've got Yuki Tsunoda and Liam Lawson head-to-head to find out who is the best out of those two in case Ricciardo flops at Red Bull and they want to put one of those two into the seat for 2025. And we're not getting any of that. And the big rumor and the reason apparently for that happening is because Liberty Media stepped in. Apparently, it was like known amongst the drivers. Max and Daniel were told that they were going to be teammates together. Liam Lawson was told he was going to be a V-carb driver for the second half of the season. And then Liberty Media stepped in and said, no, you can't do this because we're going to lose a lot of ticket sales for the Mexican Grand Prix. Now, this is a rumor. This isn't official. This isn't like Liberty Media have come out and said this. This is the big rumor. But a lot of the times, you know, there's no smoke without fire. And if that is the case, that is insane. And, you know, Daniel Ricciardo, who is going to be wanting that seat, and now, you know, it potentially means that Daniel Ricciardo will get a full season at Red Bull for 2025. He's going to be absolutely gutted that Australia is the first round of the season. Because if he flops, he doesn't have that to fall back on to keep him in a seat for the second half of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. There was also a rumor that I heard that it wasn't just Liberty Media, but also Disney Plus had a Spanish language documentary coming out about Checo Perez that was coming out. I believe it came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And there were also powers that be that were trying to keep him in Formula One to keep the documentary relevant.
That's just crazy. I just find it absolutely crazy how the sport, like, you wouldn't get that in football where the Premier League goes to Man City and says, no, you can't sell this player. Like, I know they're not having a great time and this team's coming with a lot of money, but you can't sell him because we need them to stay here.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. If this rumor is true and Liberty Media has that much power and influence on what drivers are in what seats, what sort of stain does that put on the sport from a fan perspective?
Yeah, well, it's like, where does it stop? What else are they involved in? What else are they manipulating behind the scenes? We already have, you know, there's already that sour taste of a lot of people who came into Formula One for 2021 and then obviously were built up for this massive championship battle, and everyone's got an opinion on the end on how 2021 ended. But, you know, there is controversy that came with it. Regardless of what happened, there'll be still people saying, oh, Max deserved it, Lewis deserved it, whatever. That's not important. What is important in that race is that the rules were changed and it seemed to be for more of an entertainment factor rather than the racing factor and the sport factor. And so what else has gone on throughout all these different seasons with them getting involved? Yeah, it kind of puts a few more things in doubt. And it is worrying for sure. And, you know, if they're that worried about having a Mexican driver, Pato O'Ward, get him into the sport. You should be having words with McLaren and saying,
that's what I'm saying.
Sign Pato O'Ward.
100%. Pedro Award would crush in Formula One, at least from a marketing perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know he's a great IndyCar driver. I am not an expert enough to know exactly how he would perform in Formula One. I know he tested last year, correct?
Yeah, he's done a few tests for practice section. So like the big difference is all about the neck and how much it puts you through corners. Because obviously, IndyCar's forearms are massive because they have no power steering. They're used to a lot heavier wheels. And Pato is like the fastest hands in the land. You know, it's constantly switching the wheel and fighting against it. But it's more about the forces on the body rather than the effort you're putting through the steering wheel. You know, I'd love to see him in Formula One. I think he's a great driver. And, you know, maybe he'd go to Formula One and he'd flop, or maybe he'd flourish. You just would never know. And I don't think we will ever be able to find that out. But yeah, it is just so strange, because then what about all these other drivers on the grid? You know,
right?
Is there a case for, you know, Lance Stroll? Is the main reason actually why Lance Stroll is on the grid every year? Because they need to go, we need sales in Canada. If Lance is off the grid,
I don't know. How many Canadian fans are genuinely Lance Stroll fans?
I don't know. Probably not. Probably not a lot, to be honest. I am. I know one of. I know Ghost Swish. Swish from the Track Limits podcast. He's a Canadian Lance Stroll fan, but how many others? I'm not too sure.
Hayden, like, you're a huge Lance Stroll fan. Is there not like a subreddit or a Discord or like a Facebook group that you guys are
in? I think
we're
so
small to each other
that we don't know of each other. It's like when anytime that someone finds out that I like Lance Stroll, they're like, oh my god, there's another one. What? Like, we all just think we are alone in this world, in this
you
water.
You learn something new every day.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. What other drivers would you reckon would be kept because of this, if this were to be true?
I mean, I know you are friends with him, but Zhou Guan Yu has never really gotten an opportunity to perform in a good car. Mm-hmm. But I know Sauber has, performance-wise, probably had the worst performing car, but you could make the argument that Zhou Guan Yu should stay in because of the very large audience in China.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. Finally getting his home Grand Prix this year. For the first time I've ever seen it, a driver that got to park their car on the grid after the race, even though he finished outside the points. That was crazy. But it just goes to show like how much certain countries back their drivers. I think, obviously, if Max Verstappen all of a sudden went on a massive performance drop, that would be also huge for the sport, because there are so, like, the Max Verstappen, the Orange Army, don't just take over Zandvoort for that race. They take over Belgium. He has his own grandstand there. Austria is taken over by Max Verstappen fans. Like, Europe, I believe also Hungary as well. They venture any that are quite close to the Netherlands, they're there. And that would obviously be a huge spot. Thankfully, Formula One don't have to worry about that, because obviously Max is doing such an incredible job and he's up there, he's fighting at the front, and they don't have to worry about that. But yeah, it is just crazy that a driver potentially can be kept in their seat when, you know, I think amongst everyone, I think we all agree that maybe it's time for change. Like, maybe.
Right. And at this point, it doesn't feel like a sport. It feels like professional wrestling at this point, where the league is dictating how the sport is, where the league is dictating the outcome of the sport.
Yeah.
And it just, I feel like, takes a lot of integrity out of the sporting aspect of Formula One. Mm-hmm. And I know there are other leagues, like you would say the NBA in America or the NFL or Major League Baseball favors like large market teams. And there have always been conspiracy theories that drafts are manipulated to favor major market teams, and referees are and umpires are influenced to give favoritism to larger market teams. So maybe it is true. I don't know. But I feel like if Liberty Media has done a lot of great stuff for Formula One since they took over. Mm-hmm. However, if they're trying to step in and interfere with the sporting aspect of it, I think it's just going to show very poorly for Formula One as a whole.
Yeah, I think as we said, as soon as it happens once, then there's always those doubts in your mind about everything that happens. And I think it's something that why I've maybe, you know, struggled sometimes with Formula E, and it's never been something that's like my top motorsport. I'd probably put IndyCar above it as something I would watch first, and then Formula E's behind it. But Formula E, because it's dictated by electronic power, and obviously you have attack modes, and there used to be the fan vote boost that the drivers used to get. If the engines are easily manipulated by a computer elsewhere, what's the chances of someone being like, okay, cool, we actually need this team to catch up in the championship, so let's just give them an extra 1-2 kilowatts of power. Like, it doesn't sound like a lot, but over a race, it's going to help. It's going to make them slightly faster. So it always puts those doubts in your mind. It's the same with Penske owning. Is it Penske owning? IndyCar.
Roger Penske owns IndyCar and then has the most successful team.
And they had those the stuff that happened at the start of the season where they were using push to pass when they weren't supposed to be, and obviously that just ruins the integrity of the sport because then everybody raises those questions. Like, thankfully they did the right thing where it's like, okay, cool, we're going to punish our own team. Like, you did the right thing there, but then maybe other teams might be asking for further punishments, but you're not going to do that because you own the sport. It always puts that integrity into disarray as soon as it happens once, I suppose.
Yeah, I know we're getting on a slight tangent, but Roger Penske is vertical integration personified. Not only does he have the most successful team in IndyCar, he owns IndyCar and owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a businessman. He's a business man.
A business man.
You can make the same argument in Formula One for Toto Wolff. Toto Wolff has his fingers in so many pies. Yep. And I think often in the media, people don't say anything about it because he's so likable. He's such a nice guy and people love him. But not only is he a team principal, he owns 1/3 of Mercedes AMG Petronas and he is a manager of drivers and he has all sorts of other business interests that are tangentially related to Formula One. And you could make an argument that that is also a conflict of interest. However, people aren't going to because people love Toto Wolff.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the right track there fully, and I think you put Red Bull and you put Ferrari into that conversation too, because if you look at junior drivers that come up, I feel like unless you're a part of maybe Ferrari, Red Bull, or Mercedes, it's very difficult to be a junior driver that comes up through the ranks and makes it to Formula One. You look at champions like Drugovic, for example, you know, dominated that season, won the championship, is now just sat as a reserve in Aston Martin, and I generally don't see him ever getting a Formula One seat. Theo Pourchaire, one of the youngest race winners in Formula 2, champion in Formula 2, amazing talent, and again, someone that I do not see at the moment finding their way into Formula One, because they're just, like, if you look at who he's with the Sauber, or he was with the Sauber team as their junior driver. There's no seats really opening there, and I don't think Audi are going to go for that. Has done a few bits with McLaren in terms of their IndyCar series, but is there a seat opening at McLaren? Most likely not. So yeah, it's one of those things that unless you're managed by Toto Wolff, Christian Horner, or
Mika Hakkinen,
Fred Vasseur at Ferrari, or Mika Hakkinen.
He manages drivers.
Does he? Who's he, who does he manage?
I believe he's Toto Wolff's partner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think you're absolutely right. If you want to drive in Formula One, it's not just skill. You have to have a power player in the sport who is invested in you and will profit from your success of being on the Formula One grid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at this season and drivers who have come up from as rookies or in F2, Ollie Bearman, nowhere in the championship. Like, I know he had the pole position in Saudi, lost that, would have had a great chance of points there. And I know the Premier is really struggling in terms of setup this season. However, Kimi Antonelli is doing a better job in that car, but again, is not up at the top. Meanwhile, up at the top of the championship, you're looking at Isaac Hadjar, who's getting some conversations about him, but only if there's a seat that opens up. And he's also after Liam Lawson in the pecking order for getting into RB. Paul Aaron had such a consistent start to the F2 season. I do not hear his name mentioned at all for a seat. So if he were to win this championship, he'd just be the same as Drogovic. Won't be allowed to compete in F2 anymore. Has to go find something else to do. Whereas, you know, Ollie Bearman, Ferrari driver, had one race in Ferrari, finished P6 in Ferrari. Okay, cool. It's a great result. But again, you are in one of the top cars. So scoring points is not necessarily inevitable because it's a very difficult circuit. And I'm not playing down his achievement of that. Not at all. But it's still something that, you know, maybe another driver could go in there and pull off that result. But because they're not with a younger junior team, then they're going to have a struggle to get into Formula One. So you're certainly right there. Talking of junior drivers making a step up, though, Alpine, heavily rumoured to be taking on Jack Doohan as their driver, and it's very close to apparently being announced. There's actually a lot of news for Alpine this week. They've got a new team principal, which is Oliver Oakes. He comes from High Tech. Mm-hmm. They're close to announcing Jack Doohan, and they are heavily rumoured, and I want to say emphasis on heavily rumoured, to have heavily a rumored. New sponsor, head sponsor for next year, replacing BWT.
Yep. And so we'll tease on that. But first, let's talk about Jack Doohan. I think that's like so exciting. And I know when we were speculating who was going to be in that other Alpine seat, a lot of us were saying, oh, it's probably going to be one of the other drivers who are currently on the grid. Yep. And right now, I'm like, thank God it is a new driver. Thank God we're getting some new fresh faces in there. And I think it also makes a lot of sense for Alpine because, you know, they're things are kind of tumultuous there. Bruno Famin just left. They just announced Oliver Oakes as a new team principal. They're changing power units. People don't know whether they're going to keep the team or sell the team. I think it's very important to have some level of consistency. Jack Doohan's been there for a year as a reserve driver. He's consistent. He knows everybody. It makes the most sense to put him in that seat.
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity for him there. I do think that they're... It could go either way for Alpine, and if they were to take someone with experience, that would make sense as well. But taking on someone new, it's just something that you don't actually see from Alpine Academy, Renault Academy. Like they just have not taken on a junior driver, and they've had multiple junior drivers over the years. Zhou, for example, was a junior driver for them, was not picked up. Obviously, Piastri, it took so long for them to pick him up, so long, in fact, that once Fernando had finally said, actually, no, I am moving on, it was too late for Piastri. And he was like, well, you guys didn't take me on in it originally. I'm going to McLaren. So yeah. It is a rarity for them to take on a junior driver. But if they were to take on Jack Doohan, I'm excited for him. I hope that he can have some really decent results in the team. He's definitely been a name in Formula 2 for a couple of years now and has had some really, really good races. But again, is someone that I would have to see a whole season of him to really be able to judge how he performs in Formula 1. I think him and Oliver Bearman are two drivers that I'm looking forward to their debut season, and I don't want to put pressure on them for the start because I don't think any rookies should get that pressure. I think they should be allowed a season, and they should be allowed to make mistakes because at the end of the day, they're young. It's what they're there for. They should still have great performances mixed in with those mistakes, but if they make the odd mistake here or there, so what? They're learning. Allow it. And same for Kimi Antonelli, who has got a lot of hype around him. I am interested to see how that goes as well. So yeah, I think really good there for Jack Doohan to potentially get that seat. And a bit of a shock, but to shake up the driver market. And, you know, that would mean that we're going to have three drivers who are going to be out of a seat for next season.
Right. But I also think it's going to be a big money saver for Alpine as well, because I imagine any of the other drivers that they were considering would have required a salary that was 5 times or 10 times what they're probably going to be paying Jack Doohan, right?
Yeah, I imagine so. I mean, Jack Doohan coming straight up from F2, you can get away with the contract a bit more because it's like, mate, we're giving you a seat in Formula One, so this is what you're getting. And most of the time, they're probably not going to negotiate it too much, or the agent might not negotiate it too much. Whereas with someone like Valtteri Bottas, for example, an experienced driver, a proven race winner, and a great qualifier, you're getting a good driver there. And because of those results that he's had in the past, he's able to ask for a bit more. I think it's rumored that he was on 10 million a year at stake at Sauber team. So I reckon Bottas would be taking a pay cut anyway, whatever team he moves to, because he's slowly getting towards the tail end of his career and that contract's going to get slightly less just to stay in the sport. But yeah, definitely going to be a massive discount, whereas Jack Doohan will probably be, you know, at maximum 2 million, but probably more likely a million, maybe 750,000 for a season for him. So yeah, huge, huge discount.
Jack Doohan could get fined more than what he gets paid in a year.
He really, really could. As long as he doesn't say any naughty words like Yuki Tsunoda has done this season, he'll be okay.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Moving on to Alpine announcing their new team principal, Hightech's team principal, Oliver Oakes, who's also the former of Hightech. I think they started as a Formula One team, correct? And then they now have teams in several different racing series.
I don't know. Maybe back in the day, I can't say I remember, but back in the day, there were so many teams that also never qualified for races because there used to be like a qualifying on Friday that would set yourself, if you got a certain position, then you could qualify for the actual race on the Saturday. So it might be one of those.
But he is the second youngest team principal in Formula One history, behind Christian Horner, of course. Mm-hmm. What's very interesting is, on paper, it seems like he has a very similar career trajectory to Christian Horner. He was a karting champion at like age 17. He beat Jules Bianchi and Valtteri Bottas. Went through the junior levels as a driver, eventually made the transition to team management in the lower levels, Formula 3, Formula 2. And now is getting the nod to be an F1 team principal. What do you think about this hire?
I mean, it's interesting because it's not coming from someone who is established in Formula One. I was actually thinking that when Bruno Famin stepped down, that maybe Flavio was going to then be, okay, now I am team principal of the Alpine team, rather than the role that he was going into. But that has obviously not occurred. Oliver Oakes has stepped into it. But just because it's a new name does not mean that they're not going to perform. Obviously, Fred Vasseur was somebody who came from junior teams. He came from, you know, managing and running ART, I believe it was, and went to Sauber, Alfa Romeo, and then moved on to Ferrari now. Christian Horner came in as a nobody, so to speak, in Formula One. Everyone's like, who the hell is this young kid coming in and being a team principal?
It was Arden, correct?
Yeah, that was before Formula One, and then obviously comes in straight into Red Bull, and all the other teams be like, who's this guy? But look at what Christian Horner has achieved. So yeah, I'm excited for it. Obviously, new names, it just comes with that unknown, and it's Formula One. It's about whether you can swim or not.
It could very well be a similar dynamic that we saw when Red Bull started, where Helmut Marko was actually the person in charge, but he wasn't the figurehead. So Helmut Marko was actually the one making the decisions and pulling the strings, but Christian Horner was the front-facing person of the team. We could see that happening at Alpine, where Flavio Briatore is actually the person in charge calling the shots, but he doesn't have to do any of the interviews or show up to do any press conferences or anything like that. And so it could be that Briatore is the real boss. Oliver Oakes is the front man. I don't know. We'll see.
I think that could be very much spot on. Is Flavio Briatore is just running the show behind the scenes, and is somebody else is just his dancing monkey. He's just always puppet. He's just pulling the strings, and he's like, you will go over here, you will talk, and you will talk over here. And also, who else could they get in? I mean, I remember that interview with Jeremy Clarkson on the grid where he said that Nui is looking for houses in Oxford and not Maranello. And where's Oxford? Oxford is near Alpine. It's not too far away from Alpine's factories in Enstone.
Enstone, right?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe could be pulling some big boy strings there for Alpine, and it could be another one of those build-up projects. And Alpine have been doing very well this season. From where they started, they were very much in the mud at the back of the grid. They were the laughing stock at the start of the season because of how much they'd fallen off. But now they've recovered to be fully in that mix with that back five midfield teams, also be more towards the front. Belgium was actually really good for them in the qualifying. In the wet, they looked really good at times running in the top five. So Alpine are definitely going in the right direction, and picking up some huge hires could be something that moves them further away. And to be able to pick up those huge hires, you need a lot of money. And where do you get money, James? Where do you get money?
Sponsors, baby.
Sponsors. And who is rumored? Someone told me that this was an AI journalist and it's not real. But I don't care, all right?
We have to talk about it because it's too good of a rumor.
Yeah, exactly. Until it's said that it's not happening, it's happening. And it also, this company has sponsored teams in motorsport before. I believe they sponsor a MotoGP rider or team. I can't remember exactly which one. But it is, in fact, OnlyFans is going to be potentially the sponsor of Alpine.
I love it. I think it would be so good. Like, I would love for OnlyFans to be a sponsor of Alpine's Formula One team.
They're missing a trick, because that means that Alpine needs to sign George Russell. Because if they want a driver, he's going to be getting their kit off. George Russell is the one. That man, you cannot put a shirt on that man.
Yeah, that's true. If a Formula One team was on OnlyFans, if they had like their own OnlyFans account, what kind of stuff would you want to see from them? Let me rephrase the question. If a Formula One team was on OnlyFans, what would you expect to see from them?
Well, you just probably expect to see normal generic social media stuff that they have. and it's just behind a paywall. I suppose it, you'd probably have like more exclusive content with drivers. I do not mean that.
You don't think it'd be a little more? You don't think it'd be a little more risque? Like more ice bath content.
Definitely more ice bath content. A lot of
or maybe get a little peek of that floor.
It would be skip roping where they're just wearing the flammable underwear.
Right.
So
yeah,
you just see something bounce a little bit in that whilst they're doing a bit of skip rope. And that's,
maybe we also get shots of that floor on the livery.
Maybe.
Little sneak peeks.
Lewis and Hamilton's they'll post driver who I think should go there as well. If you take the Mercedes lineup, goes to the OnlyFans team. Like, they should just sponsor Mercedes because George keeps his shirt off. And Hamilton, there was a picture that was released. I feel like it was like 4 or 5 years ago. And he was packing. He was wearing some jogger shorts and he was packing some heat.
I would also love to see if a Formula One team was on OnlyFans for them to post pictures of the tires with the caption feet pics.
No. Yes, that's more exclusive content. You know how they trial every now and again the pedal cam?
Yeah.
Whichever team has that would just have a live feed of the pedal cam, but the drivers have to wear no shoes. I mean,
yeah, they're not wearing their speed cats. They're
it goes against all health and safety, and but they have to put some flammable spray on their feet or
no Alpine Star boots on.
No, exactly.
Full Fred Flintstone, which you know would be on brand for.
I don't know, Haas, George Russell, moment, Sauber.
Yabba dabba do.
I like what you did there. So, yeah, I mean, it's massively rumored. I don't think it is true because it comes from an AI journalist. But, that could be rather interesting. What extra things do they have to do for the sponsor?
Sort of stepping away from Alpine, but moving on to something tangentially related. Former Alpine team principal Amar Safnauer is reportedly involved in a development stage American F1 project that is not Andretti. Do you think something like this has legs?
I hope so, because I've been a huge advocate of more teams in Formula One, and that's something I came into the sport properly in 2010. I've been a follower all my life, running into the room when my parents are watching and be like, oh, is Schumacher winning yet? Oh, yeah, he is. Okay, cool. I'm going to go play outside again. And then just pop in wearing my Schumacher race suit. But that would be the extent of it because I didn't have the attention span. And then 2010, when I got the... I think I remember getting the F1 game on the Wii with the Wii wheel. From then on, I started properly watching it from 2009. But where am I going with this? But yeah.
Who did you drive with on the Wii?
Who did I drive with? I think it was with Jenson Button abroad. I'm a huge Jenson Button fan. I think over here, F1 boomed again. We've always had top British drivers, but I think it boomed again with the hype of Lewis Hamilton being, oh my God, this guy could be the next Schumacher. And eventually, you know, matched him. He went on par with Schumacher in terms of championships. But the season after that, Button started to do well. And so Button became my favorite. So that's who I was sort of driving as. Nice. But those seasons had 12 teams on the grid, and that's what I was used to, you know, growing up as a Formula One fan. And I think that's what we should have, 24 cars total. I think that's what we should have. So yeah, it surprises it's not Andretti. So it makes me question who it could be and what sort of team it would potentially, if it's maybe something that's already established or if it's just a completely unique brand that is wanting to get into Formula One. But yeah, I'm not too sure.
I know we love Otmar selfies on Instagram. He is the king of dad selfies on the IG. And I remember when he was traveling to Europe, I believe a year ago, he took a selfie with a car talking, and it was like a Ford, like supercar or something like that. So I wonder if, you know, we know Ford is getting into Formula One in a partnership with Red Bull. Maybe it's a project with Ford. I don't know. I would love to see two more teams on the grid. I know Hi-Tech is pushing really hard. Andretti is pushing really hard. I know that when there were open bids last year, there were four teams that I think submitted proper bids to Formula One. But I would love to see Amar back in Formula One in some capacity.
Yeah, I'd also love to see Prema added to that list. Prema, I think, you know, a huge established junior team. You know, they just won the F3 championship. I don't think they're going to win F2. They're struggling massively with those cars. They're also going to be entering IndyCar shortly. But Primo, I think, could be a great team, and also a team that could come in initially as a Ferrari junior team in the way that, you know, Toro Rosso, AlphaTauri, VCarb has been to Red Bull. It could be a great way for Oliver Behrman to come in instead of going to Haas. He goes to Prema F1 team and is driving for them for a year and then moves on to Ferrari or a couple of seasons. But in terms of American, the only real sort of project or big name that I can think of is maybe a Penske wanting to move over, but I just don't know whether that would
I don't see Penske doing that.
Yeah, that's the only sort of big sort of name brand, because in terms of car brands, Ford, I just can't see it. I know that they're getting involved in terms of engines, but they've always had a history of being involved in Formula One with engines rather than being involved in as an actual team.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Roger Penske enjoys being a big fish in a small pond. I'd say he enjoys being a big fish in a medium-sized pond. Mm. And I don't see him going to Formula One where he's like one of many other teams and is no longer the guy. But Prema used to be owned by your boy.
Yeah?
Yeah, Lawrence Stroll used to own... Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, he did drive for them, and he did win a championship with them.
In Formula 3,
yeah,
when Lance Stroll drove for Prema, Lawrence Stroll owned the team.
Hence why he won the championship then.
Yeah, well,
he was testing every day. He was whipping that boy into shape. Drive!
Well, there's a great rocket-powered Mohawk video taking down Lance Stroll. I don't know if you watch rocket-powered Mohawk.
No, because he abuses Lance Stroll, so we don't watch that.
He is probably the funniest F1 content creator out there, but he is also so incredibly offensive. But he somehow gets away with it because he's so funny. But he did a takedown of Lance Stroll and talked about Lance Stroll's dominant Formula 3 season, where he won the Formula 3 championship by like twice as many points as any other driver. And he talked about all the advantages that he had. He had access to a simulator that no other F3 driver had. At the time, Lawrence Stroll was heavily invested in Williams. And apparently they were having Williams engineers come over and like tinker with Lance Stroll's car, allegedly. And apparently he was disqualified from a couple races because of that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, your Big Daddy Stroll owned Prema for a hot minute.
All I'm saying is that happens a lot in junior categories. I am good friends with George Morgan, if people know. He's a commentator in the F1 sim racing alongside me, and he does a lot of real life stuff. Does Frecker. And I remember him telling me that, you know, Kimi Antonelli is probably the next big thing, and he's on his way up. And he said that, yeah, on the grid, you just have the teams and the young drivers basically with their parents on the grid. But Antonelli would have a whole team of Mercedes engineers with laptops around his car.
That's wild.
And so that's what we were talking about earlier. You know, if you have the right backing, and this is Formula One to a T, every driver, bar a few exceptions, has had huge backing on their route to Formula One. The big exceptions being Esteban Ocon, I'd probably say, has come from nothing. Then you've got Lewis Hamilton, also didn't come from a lot, but was picked up quite early on by McLaren and was helped quite a lot by McLaren.
Also, Checo Perez did not really have a lot of backing, and as a teenager had to seek out Carlos Slim and get Carlos Slim to sponsor him. Carlos Slim, of course, you know, is the Mexican billionaire owner of Telcel, as well as another number of other companies. But Checo Perez also, his family did not have a lot of money, and he had to seek out sponsorships as well. And I know there's like stories of him when he first came to Europe to drive. He was like living in a garage, in like the team's garage for a few months, didn't know the language. So he's definitely a driver that has come from more humble beginnings as well.
Yeah, but coming from humble beginnings, I think, is different to having support around you. Because as you say, he had a billionaire that supported him, but just because the billionaire is supporting his career, it doesn't mean that billionaire is also going to go, oh, by the way, I'm going to put you in the best house to stay, and we're going to feed you as much food as possible. No, it's you know, as a driver, putting your whole career and everything into that career, you are going to put all that money into that and try and get by yourself. Then in the hopes to make it. And, you know, some obviously come from a bigger advantage, like, you know, Lance Stroll obviously comes from a rich family and his dad has supported him his whole time. So is Lando Norris. I know a lot of people, you know, don't talk about this with Lando Norris, but Lando Norris, his dad is also very, very wealthy and has massively helped with his career going through. So this is just something that, you know, is always has always been a case. And yeah, you know, talk about also, Williams engineers being there. Kimi Antonelli had that for his junior career as well with Mercedes.
Right. Also, reports are that I believe Lando Norris's father paid his salary for the first year of McLaren.
Possibly. I mean, possibly, because a lot of junior drivers come in and it could just be an easy way to be like, give my son a drive. You don't have to pay him anything. And obviously that's going to help with a team. If a team goes, okay, we get a good driver. You know, he obviously has promise, and Lando Norris is a good driver. He's not just there because of money, but money helps. Money's always going to help anybody through their career. You know,
they will get their foot in the door.
Exactly. Think about all the incredible drivers that have gone through karting and have fallen at the wayside because they didn't have somebody to back them, or they didn't have parents who could put the money into their career. So there's a lot of drivers that, you know, the best driver in the world could just be somebody working in a supermarket because, unfortunately, you know, they could never get past their karting career. And that's just, unfortunately, the way that motorsport is.
Yeah. And it's like that for a lot of pursuits, not just in sports, but also in the creative world as well. But segueing from McLaren, which we were just talking about, it was just announced 2 hours ago that McLaren have extended Andrea Stella's contract as team principal. How do you feel about this signing?
Happy. I love him. I think he's a great, he's a great advocate for the team. Speaks really well. He speaks really well. And I think we're getting a lot of team principals that are coming in that speak really well. Like when you listen to him talking about, you know, stuff that happens after a race, very articulate with what they say. And, you know, it really draws you in and you take on board what they're saying. I think James Vowles is somebody who is very similar. And they seem to be going in the right direction for him, because the team have come from the start of 22, struggling massively, built back up, back to nothing in 23, and said, okay, this is the direction we need to go, and have built that back up. And are now, you know, I'd say on the occasional race at the moment, they are the top team. They are the fastest team in Formula One. Not quite obviously a dominating factor like Max had in 2023, but quicker over the course of the race. They do need to work on things behind the team. And we said that last week, that they're not quite ready to fight for a championship because they make strategical mistakes, and Lando Norris is making those small little errors that he needs to overcome. But this is the team, this is the season to do it. When you're already on the back foot and you are chasing, you can't do any wrong. It's more the team that started off really well, like Max Verstappen. If Max Verstappen and Red Bull dropped off massively and lost this championship, then you're going to be looking at Red Bull and going, right, how have you failed that? You had such a huge lead. Whereas McLaren always catching up, and I know there is a little bit of criticism on the team when they are making mistakes because they are the closest challengers, but if they don't win it, they were unlikely to win it anyway. Apart from the constructors, that's something that is looking more in their favour. But at least in terms of the drivers, if they don't win it, it was unlikely in the first place. So this is the time for Lando Norris to be making those small little errors, but to be able to learn from them and stop making them.
Right. Yeah. And also, Andrea Stella has a very similar track, like how we were comparing Oliver Oakes to Christian Horner, how they had similar paths to becoming team principals. Andrea Stella has a very similar path as James Vowles did, both with an engineering background. Yeah. Andrea Stella was the performance engineer for Michael Schumacher. He was the race engineer for Kimi Raikkonen and Fernando Alonso. I mean, he was at Ferrari for, I think, 15 years, which makes me ask you the question. Do you think Andrea Stella will ever be the team principal at the Scuderia?
Oh, I don't know. I guess McLaren will want to keep hold of him. And I think Ferrari are doing a good job with Fred Vasseur. He's clearly building something there. You know, bringing on Lewis Hamilton, bringing on statistically the best driver in Formula One. And as we have seen over the last few races, he's still got it. You know, I think out of the last seven races, maybe less than that, maybe it's the last five. Or maybe it's even less than that. It's last three. I don't know. But he scored the most points on 92, which is incredible. It's an incredible feat. And I think that he's certainly still got it. So him going to Ferrari is something that is going to be very, very fundamental for the team and crucial for them to have a top driver to replace Carlos Sainz, who they have booted out. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes. I know there was obviously talks and Adrian Newey was the main person. Ferrari was the main team that he was going to go to. And I still want to see that happen because for him, it ticks
me
off
too.
Doing a Ferrari and doing a Lewis Hamilton car, which would be something that he would be very happy to end his career on because it was two things that he wanted to do. And if Vasseur manages to pull that off, then that again is putting the team in the right direction. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes ready for 2026 when the big changes are coming. Maybe they're full focus on that. And that's where they're going to really come out of the blocks.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Next bit of news that we found out today, Red Bull sporting director Oliver Wheatley is leaving Red Bull after 18 years to become team principal at Audi. Hayden, do we like this?
I think this is huge for Red Bull. And it's huge news, and it shows even more that the bricks are being pulled apart of the Red Bull team. They lost Adrian Newey, a massive figure in the team. And now Jonathan Wheatley is going to Audi as a team principal. And I've said this before, that a big person to take out a Red Bull that would be a huge hit would be Jonathan Wheatley. I think I said it after the Austrian Grand Prix, because he was the sporting director there. And he was very much knows that legal book of the rules of Formula One to a T, but also knows the loopholes and the ways to get around them. Now, as a couple of seasons ago, they weren't punished for crossing the white line on pit exit at Monaco. And that's because the wheels were kind of on the white line. But it's always been the fact that if you touch that white line, that counts as crossing it. But because they were basically, you know, they're very smart people, and they're like, okay, let's look at the legal side of it. Actually, if we speak about it in this right way, I don't think we've crossed it, because define what is crossing the line. Because you haven't defined it here, so therefore, I don't think we've actually crossed the line, because our whole car's not over the line. And they got away with it. Whereas Lewis Hamilton in Austria took the penalty, and then they were just like, oh yeah, you've got a penalty for that. And he was like, okay, yeah, fair. Whereas I think like Red Bull would be like, no, actually, we haven't crossed the line here. So I think this is a huge figure to be leaving Red Bull, because they leave such a big hole. And it's starting to crumble, you know? We've got Sergio Perez struggling in that team, and being told, potentially, that he has to stay there because they're gonna lose ticket sales at Mexico. Adrian Newey's on the way out, or he's already left. He's now on gardening leave. Jonathan Wheatley's on the way out, going to Audi. Is this the end of the Red Bull dominance? Like, is this something? I know that, you know, two people don't make a team, but these are key figures from a team that are leaving.
That's an interesting question, and I know that when a new team is formed, you're always going to have this new team cherry picking talent from different teams, especially if they're offering them a promotion and a step up in their career. But do you think this brain drain, max exodus of talent from Red Bull has been amplified by the scandal that happened at the beginning of the season?
I think potentially. I think, you know, we spoke about it before, and it dirtying the waters, and I think it dirties the waters of Red Bull to being a part of that. And again, you know, it's a lot of, a lot is unknown, and that's the worst thing I think for anyone talking about the situation, is because so much is unknown, you don't always know the truth behind it. But because of so much that has been going on, and how much it riled up a lot of people, therefore, you know, there's always going, like I said, there's no smoke without fire. There's no fire, no smoke without fire. No smoke without fire, is that the saying?
All I know is when there's fire, there's typically smoke as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the usual. So, you know, these rumors don't just come from nowhere. Most stuff isn't just made up. And maybe Sergio Perez is the one that has all those files and all those text messages, and that's why he's still the team. He's just drip-feeding them. He's like, don't make me put this out. Sergio Perez is actually just catfishing Christian Horner. That's what he's doing at the moment. That's why he's still got a seat. But yeah, I think all this has gone through at the start of the season, and a lot of key figures have been leaving. You know, it was rumored at the start that, oh, Adrian Newey doesn't want to be a part of this, so he's going to leave. And then it didn't happen. Everyone's like, oh, clearly it's not true. It's just rumors. Adrian Newey's left the team, so he's gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, now Jonathan Wheatley, another key top figure at Red Bull. You know, you're looking at those people that sit alongside Christian Horner on the desk next to the races, and he's going as well. So you've got to look at that and think, there's clearly got to be something that's going on, whether it's truth in what has happened, or truth in terms of the power struggle that has been going on in Red Bull. You know, so yeah, I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and I think sadly for Red Bull, they're going through some troubles at the moment.
Yeah, I think this is a great segue for a script that I sent you. This is a segment we're going to call Silly Season Theater. So I sent Hayden a script. I'm going to play just a generic Red Bull team staffer. His name is James. Hayden is going to play Christian Horner because you are British and one day maybe you'll be rich enough and become a Tory. So you're going to read Christian Horner. I'm just going to be other Red Bull staffer and we're going to go through it. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready. I don't know what this is going to be, but I'm ready.
All right, interior, day, conference room, Red Bull headquarters. Christian Horner's talking to his Red Bull staff. Go, Hayden.
We need to replace Checo. He hasn't been performing to our standards.
You're not even trying to do a Christian Horner impression.
I thought because I'm English, I could just get away with it.
Okay, fine. All right, let's go. All right, here we go. Say again from the start. Okay. And go.
Okay, we need to replace Checo. He hasn't been performing to our standards.
Easy enough. Let's call it a day.
It's settled. We soft launched Daniel with the helicopter video and we'll announce him tomorrow.
Guys, it's Liberty Media on the phone.
What?
Yeah, they said we can't fire Checo because they're worried about how it will affect sales of the Mexico City Grand Prix.
Hang on, we're not doing that. I've made my decision.
Easy enough, let's call it a day.
Good, now, next order of business.
Guys, it's Disney Plus on the phone.
How do they have our number?
They said they're about to release a documentary on Disney Plus about Checo titled El Viejo Sabroso.
No, absolutely not. I've made my decision. He's gone.
Easy enough, let's call it a day.
Okay, right. Now, I want to talk about putting Liam in the RB seat.
Guys, it's the band One Republic on the phone.
What now?
Yeah, they need you to keep Checo in that seat because they're about to have a music festival in Prague dedicated to Checo.
No, that can't be.
The festival is called...
Don't.
Checo Republic.
Checo, this is absurd.
Easy enough, let's call it a day.
Stop saying that. I've made my decision. Checo is out. Daniel's in. Liam is at RB with Yuki.
Guys, it's Illumination Studios on the phone.
What now?
They said you can't fire Checo because they're doing a Checo, Perez, and Minions crossover.
Stop.
They're calling it...
No.
Chinions.
No, I've had enough.
It's going to be a hilarious movie about a bunch of lovable pranksters who look like little minion Checo Perez's and love getting into mischief.
This is not happening.
I don't know. I would watch that.
Hang up the phone.
Hold on. Bravo is on the line. They want to do a reality series with Checo where he's working on a super yacht and has to manage a lot of different personalities.
Stop.
They want to call it Below Check.
Okay, fine. He can stay.
And scene.
We did it. I never know what I'm going to get with you. I never know what I'm going to be part with. I mean, that was good. I think we've got Oscar on our, written it, written that, our name.
That's
it.
Pretty much probably what happened.
Do you know what? I really want to see that Checo Perez Minions movie now.
Red Bull's like, does somebody have microphones hidden in our offices? Because this is exactly what happened.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for playing along. I think that we've sort of covered everything. Do you want to talk summer break predictions?
Summer break predictions. Who's going to win the summer break, do we reckon? I think Logan Sargeant's going to go into it very, very hot. He's going to be sweating to come out on top, but ultimately get a little bit too hot and maybe get a bit of a sunburn.
Interesting. So you think Logan Sargeant is going to have the best time?
Well, he's going to start off with the best time, but then overdo it and then be burnt.
He's going to forget to put on sunscreen. Yeah. You got to put on that SPF.
Or,
especially when
he's
you're
only
pale,
putting
like
on
Logan.
Factor 10, I feel like.
What is factor 10?
It's just not very high.
Oh, it's like SPF level 10?
Yeah. SPF 10. Okay.
Do they not say SPF in the UK?
Well, I mean, it does say SPF on it, but I think the F is for factor, right?
I guess.
So
I don't know.
I think
I've
that's
never
why
called
we
it
call
factor...
it factor 10 or factor 50 or factor 30.
Oh, man. Y'all's like little words for things are so cute.
I was a little bit late for this podcast today because I had just gone shopping and I was putting the shopping away and I had just had to verify to James that I meant groceries as well in the message, just in case you got a little bit confused of what I was on about.
And I said, thank you for clarifying that it was groceries. Because you could have been shopping for anything.
Exactly. You'd be like, why are you putting clothes away? Just jump on.
Yeah. But I think once again, it's going to be a tie between George Russell and Lando Norris.
Yeah.
And it's going to be depending on what type of person you are. If you're a person who loves to like party and club and go out and go crazy, Lando Norris is winning summer break. If you are like a 50-year-old person stuck in a 25-year-old man's body, you're going to – George Russell's winning this break because he's just like having a relaxing vacation with his lovely, charming, significant other.
Exactly. And if you like the first traps, then George Russell's your man as well. Because it's summer. He's going to be on holiday. But you're not putting a shell on that man. There's actually an account 100%. Run by a friend of mine called Matt Amos, and it's where he edits pictures of George Russell where he's posted topless, and he puts shirts on George Russell.
That's hilarious. So he's the head at Quadrant, right?
Pardon?
He's the head at Quadrant, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you haven't checked out that channel or the Instagram page, then yeah, I think it's like George Russell with shirts or something like that.
That's so funny.
Right, I think that's where we're gonna wrap up. Those are our summer break predictions, unless you've got any more for us. Any more scripts?
No.
Me and James are off to go and write up a draft for the Checo Perez Minions movie, and we are gonna see you for next week's podcast. Don't know what we're gonna talk about. I'm sure it's gonna be as chaotic as this one has been, but we look forward to seeing you there. Make sure you follow us on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to, and follow at the official WTF1 on all the social platforms, as well as myself and James. Make sure you go check us out as well, and we will see you on a podcast very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.